I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. Tonight, I am your chief editor, Stargate Pioneer. My friends, they call me SP. And your other reporter for this episode number 150 of the Starling Tribune is Michelle.
Don't grab a woman unless you have permission.
Very, no means no, yes means yes. Make sure you get a verbal yes before you go. That's just, yeah. Don't grab a woman without permission. That is sage advice indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, April 27th, 2017, live on Geeks.live. And I'm going to take a little bit of time just to note that two of our regular reporters are out on assignment and not with us tonight. That is Chris and Neil. They both send their hellos, but they are traveling on assignment. Matter of fact, it's kind of a minor miracle that I'm here tonight. So yeah, Michelle's been holding down the fort at the Starling Tribune. So thank you very much, Michelle, for being the continuity in our very hectic travel schedules.
No problem. And it's nice to hear that Chris has been promoted from intern to field reporter.
It's just because there's nobody else to fill the slot. So once he comes back, he'll go back to being an intern, and that's just how it's going to be.
Oh, poor Chris.
Well, once he comes back, he can try to retort, but it is what it is. In any event, tonight we'll be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, and Constantine. And just a little reminder that our speculations will probably include a lot of the information that the showrunners themselves, the directors, the producers, and the actors have shared. And even if we're just throwing out wild speculations, we can be right every once in a while. Myself, not so much as like Michelle, but we can be right. So consider yourself warned about potential spoilers.
And speaking of spoilers, sometimes we geek out and talk about this week's DC Comics. So every once in a while, there could be a comic book spoiler, but we promise we'll try our best to not ruin anything for you. If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com. We can find all of our other past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
All right, now that we've gotten all of the disclaimers out of the way, Michelle, let's go ahead and break this very important, groundbreaking episode of Arrow down for our listeners.
Sure, this episode is called Dangerous Liaisons. It's Season 5, Episode 19, originally aired April 26, 2017. Director, Joe Novoa. First episode of Arrow directed, has done some other films called God Slave and a short film called Maxim. Either way, good for Joel to have an episode of Arrow under his belt. Writers, Speedweed.
Woohoo!
8 Arrow, 7 Haven, and 3 Law and Order SVU. So I just had to throw that in there. And Elizabeth Kim, this is her first episode of Arrow, and she's been the assistant to Mark Guggenheim for a bit. Hmm.
Nice. Assistant to Mark Guggenheim. So basically, they're letting her out of the closet to write an episode, and it was actually a pretty good episode. I mean, we'll talk about it in a second. In the meantime, let's talk about ratings for the week. We'll run down all the CW shows for the week and the ratings that they got. Monday was another episode of Supergirl, the first in about a month. It was Ace Reporter, and a little spoiler there, Reporter is a main event in the episode, and that achieved 1.80, which I believe is the series low for Supergirl, is it not?
Yeah, I think it's one of the lowest ones. Supergirl normally gets at least 2 million.
Yeah, it's always been over 2 since they've transitioned from CBS to CW, and at CBS it definitely got higher, but only 1.80. Ouch, that month off really hurt them. Over on The Flash with the Once and Future Flash. Now, I had a chance to watch all these episodes this week, which was amazing considering the hectic week that I had. This episode of Flash was actually pretty good for me. I like the future time travel. Barry travels forward in time to 2024. I won't spoil anything for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, but it got 2.67, which is not the series high, but it's on the upper end of Flash's ratings. Over on Arrow last night, Dangerous Liaisons, the episode we're actually talking about, 1.36. Yes, 36, which is the lowest episode by far of Arrow. The previous low was Capuchin, which was 1.38. And I'm just amazed. CW is pulling out all the stops to really promote this. They were promoting the end of the season with the possibility of Deathstroke coming back, and it's not working. It's not working at all. And if I am part of quote unquote Team Arrow, I am now worried about the future of this show. It's already been renewed. However, we don't know how many episodes it was renewed for, how many was ordered. So they could easily do a run to the end, do a final Christmas party episode, and end the season before the mid-season break, or for the mid-season break next year. What do you think about that, Michelle?
Yeah, I think they're either going to do a full sixth season and make it like the last for Arrow. I think they might do that. I think they might get a full season because they are gearing up to do that big crossover that's probably going to take place early in the season, like they did this year with episodes 8 and 9 for them. So just before the midseason. So I do think because it's the flagship, they will get a full season order, but it could be it.
It could be. We'll keep our eyes and ears open. We talk about the news every week, and what we don't talk about, we put the links to the other articles that are relevant in the show notes. So go ahead, go to GunnaGeek.com, go to the Starling Tribune podcast page, and find the specific show notes for this show, episode 150, and you will see all the links to the news articles. In the meantime, we're going to get on to the episode, the main plots, themes, and characters for Dangerous Liaison. The first thing that we always talk about, Michelle, is the overall theme for the episode based on the title, Dangerous Liaison. So, Michelle, take it away.
Well, I think the first obvious connection is Felicity and Helix. She decides that, hey, we need to get Prometheus, whatever the cost, and I'm going to help Helix do their, you know, break the dude out of Argus. And whether you like it or not, that's what I'm going to do. So I think that's the obvious connection, is her doing her dangerous moves with Helix. And then I also thought about Lila, because Lila is in charge of Argus. And she's, Diggle says, hey, you're acting a little bit like Amanda Waller. And depending on how you feel about Amanda Waller, that's either a compliment or an insult. But Lila's willing to, you know, hold a guy without a trial. Let's have a black site on U.S. soil. It's kind of dangerous.
Definitely is dangerous. So before I comment back on that, I just want to say one thing. Seeing the new Dinah on the new Black Canary, basically, on screen was phenomenal. even though she doesn't get a lot of screen time, when she's on screen, she is the Black Canary. Now, I'm going to back away from that and respond to your comments and link it in to the Black Canary. Lila and Felicity and the original Black Canary were just torn apart by the writers of this series. And it's becoming a pattern. So first of all, back in season two, when you had Laurel Lance and she became an alcoholic, just completely just crashed the character and she never recovered. And everybody who knows anything about the Green Arrow in the comics knows that eventually Dinah, Laurel Lance, the Black Canary, and Oliver Queen as Green Arrow, they hook up and they stay together for a while. They have a relationship and that's it. And it was just not happening, whether it was the writers that drove the character into the ground or whether it was the actual actors having chemistry on the screen, whatever, that didn't work. Lila, on the other hand, has been a strong character, and now they're dragging her into the mud by running Argus exactly like Waller. This is a pattern with the show, and I am no longer comfortable with it. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, because if we go along with that, you know, I've been rewatching season one of Arrow and just see, you know, Felicity there. She's not dumb. She's never been dumb. She's been like the best IT person and everything, but she's always had this light about her. And even after all these other seasons, Diggle says she is like the best person that he knows. And now they're kind of breaking her and dragging her down. Because that's one of the things I liked about Felicity. Felicity's supposed to help lift them up. And now for some reason, they're dragging her down. And I really hope they leave Dinah Drake alone. You know, she's being awesome. We need her being built up. We don't need all of a sudden her being an alcoholic or a heroin addict or something. We don't need that.
Right. So just something that doesn't set right with me with the show, which when you look at the ratings of 1.36, this was actually, in my opinion, kind of a good episode because it brought a lot of important storylines to the front, but at the other end, it was disjointed. So to me, it reeks of we are looking at shutting the series down and we're trying to tie some storylines together or finish it at least before the season finale because they're running out of time for it. We only have so many episodes left. So I don't know. This is something that I'm going to keep an eye on for the rest of the season, which is basically a month, less than a month now, right? So we'll see how that goes. Now, another thing that we talk about are the fights, which drew a lot of us to Arrow to begin with, the wonderfully choreographed fights. So the first fight wasn't all that much of a fight. It was more like a simple ambush. Chase was spotted going into this Flynn's Arcade, a little Tron action going in there. And he's rigged games to shoot real bullets back at the people in there. And you know, some of the vintage games get hurt. And, you know, that hurt me. So I hope that they did not harm actual vintage games in the shooting of this episode.
I'm sure they probably got shells and such. I don't think it was the actual game. But I agree with Curtis. Like, that hurt me as well. Like, oh, gosh, no.
And Chase wasn't actually seen there, and he escaped by tunnels, so they saved an actor for actually, you know, being there and paying him or whatever. So, but at least Prometheus was mentioned. They tried to deal with him, and then they got diverted into this whole Argus Black Site thing with Helix. Now, the next fight, talking about Argus, is that the team decides, hey, we're going to help Argus. Because Argus is in need of our help, and they've helped us. They've always had our back, so we're going to help them. And this goes back to Lila with her security keys, which, oh, I was going to say don't get me started. But so Argus secret agents have these specialized keys as jewelry around their necks, which is just showing outside of their shirts. So anybody can come take a look at them. Take a picture of them, copy, make a facsimile, and with high-resolution cameras these days can make a pretty good one, and then it's easy just to rip it off of somebody's neck. This is not very secure, is it, Michelle?
No, it's not, and I'm glad you ran on that rant instead of me. because I understood the whole secretive thing and stuff. But, you know, one of the things I liked about last season was that the thing was inside Lila. Like, that's pretty secure. And then to take that and be like, oh, you know, let's make, you know, jewelry that looks like we bought it off Etsy to give our agents that. Yeah, you're right. It's not very smart. It's nice to know Argus pays well because that agent is in a nice sports car.
Well, okay, let's take a look at what the sports car was, right? So I watch Top Gear, and I've watched Top Gear for a lot of years. I've seen some tremendous sports cars. Sports cars topping 2 million pounds, because it's Top Gear, you have to use the British version, 2 million pounds. This was a Ford Mustang. Matter of fact, probably one of the same Ford Mustangs that was used back in season one and season two by Roy. Although it might have been different. It was a convertible. It was yellow, painted yellow. But still, 80s style, maybe not early 90s style Mustang convertible. Probably cheap to get on the open market. Now, if you have a good collector, they can keep them going for a while. It sounds nice. Probably runs okay as far as sports car goes. But I would think that if an Argus agent really wanted a high-performance sports car, they wouldn't go to a Ford Mustang. I'm just saying.
Ah. So basically, it's all show, but it's not really that great of a car. It's kind of like one of those Ferraris. It's like when people want a Ferrari, so they get the one that looks nice.
A Fiero.
No. There were ones where it looks good on the outside, but when you go in, they could basically afford the bare bones model, so it's all like stripped inside. It's just like you don't really, it's like the car doors are, they're not really covered, and the seats are, you know, it looks great on the outside but cheap on the inside.
I'll go one better. So you probably have never heard of this, and listener, I'm gonna go a little bit into cars, not too much, and we'll move on. So there's such a thing known as a kit car for like Lamborghini, or what is the other, a Ferrari. You can get a Fiero body. Take off the fiberglass Fiero shell. Put on a faux Lamborghini or Ferrari shell, fiberglass shell. Put it on there. So basically, you have a Fiero with the outside that looks like a Lamborghini.
Wow.
You didn't know that, did you?
Did not know this.
Yeah, so the next time that you're on the street and some guy next to you is revving up his Ferrari or Lamborghini, you can just go over there and, yeah, that sounds like a Fiero. That thing might catch on fire. I might just let him go ahead and catch on fire in front of me, even though you probably could out-accelerate him in your car.
True.
All right, so Team Argus helps out, and then Felicity convinces Team Arrow to let the mercenaries go with the Argus key. Do you think Oliver really is going to let that happen?
First off, you know, it was great. You know, the goons corner the agent, and the team comes along. We get a canary cry. Ollie is in that really silly black mask again. I have no idea why. But it's one of those, Felicity tells Diggle, let him go. And then Diggle tells Oliver. And it's basically that Felicity asked us to do this. She has information. We don't let him go. And I guess because it came from Diggle, he let it happen. But
Good point. Just because it came from Diggle. Not necessarily. He considered the origin, but Diggle said this is what to do. So I trust Diggle. And this is what we're going to do. Very important. So the black mask, you brought that up and you didn't understand why. So for the listener, if you don't remember why, Oliver is not in his Green Arrow costume and in the black hooded mask or ski mask or whatever. It is because the SCPD have orders to shoot to kill on sight Green Arrow based on what has happened. That Green Arrow has been defined as the person that's responsible for Billy's death, which is a fellow cop. Now, regardless of whether Prometheus is involved or not, I think the TV show universe is taking this as, well, he's not caught yet, so we're still going to blame the Green Arrow.
Okay, that's true, but Why is it a silly black mask? I mean, it's lamer than Renee's hockey mask. I mean, it's just, it looks so bad.
They ran out of costume money, I guess, this season. Let's move ahead to a assault team. By the way, I'm not going to move ahead. I'm going to go back. In that fight on the street between the Argus agent and the mercenaries and the Green Arrow team, I had a very difficult time figuring out who was who because they all had black masks on and black clothing and basically assault gear, street assault gear, not full up assault gear. And the only one that I could tell that was different was Dinah because she was a woman and everybody else were guys. And then Diggle, when he finally shows up, he's got his mask on. That's the only reason I was able to tell who was who.
Yeah, that's one of the things. But when you come to a fight on your motorcycle with your helmet on, and so do the other guys who were hired via internet.
Because you can hire everything on the internet. Yeah, I think I got a septic tank that needs to be mucked out. You think I can find somebody to do that on the internet?
I'm sure you can. Definitely on Craigslist.
All right, so moving ahead to the last fight of the episode, you had basically Felicity versus Team Arrow because she is all in with Helix, and Helix needs her to do her magic to hack into Argus. And she's got the magic tablet, which reminded me of the stupid magic surface tablet from season one, by the way. But she's got this magic tablet that could do anything and play video games and shut down the automatic guns and that sort of thing. This was the best fight of the episode, in my opinion, because you had a lot of action. You had some hand-to-hand going on, and you even had some people get shot. So I think this was the fight of the episode, if you're looking for one.
Oh, yeah. Dinah using, and we got another canary cry. She's using her bow staff. Curtis got his T-spheres going on. It was a really good fight.
And then at the end, with Oliver facing off with Felicity through the electric fence with 30 gigawatt lasers that would rip him apart. Oh, that was heartbreaking. And then, you know, what was even more heartbreaking was right after that, Felicity runs back to the Helix lair. And guess what? They done ditched her.
Yep. They're like, bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicity.
Yeah. Thanks for getting our friend out. And then here's a gift. And Felicity's just so, I don't know, like, you know, she made this speech about, you know, why she was going hooking up with Helix. She tells Oliver, you know, over the past 4 years, I've seen you sacrifice your soul to save the city, to save us. You know, let me carry the burden. Let me go down this dark road. And because I've learned so much, but for some reason, she hasn't learned that Helix was playing her. Like, she couldn't see that. That was a bit disappointing because even I saw it.
She got spanked pretty hard, not literally, figuratively, by Helix here. And I think the way it happened redeemed her because everything going on, not totally redeemed, but it left me thinking she could be redeemed. Let me qualify that. Because in the last 3-4, maybe half a season, I was going to say 3-4 episodes, but really ever since last fall, she's been down this dark path and you're like, no, no, Felicity, don't do it. No, you're ruining the character. No, no, no. And then Helix throws her to the side. And then all of a sudden you're like, well. And the way it happened was that Team Arrow knew that she was doing it to catch Chase, which they all want anyway. So it's ends up a little less bad, but you still have a dead Argus agent because of it.
Well, yeah, but I can't believe that Felicity didn't see it because it all started with this little sort of like, oh, hi, I'm a big fan. You're my hero. How come you're not a hacktivist anymore? Really sort of just like getting the hooks into Felicity's ego, which I didn't realize that. I guess that was another surprising thing is that where did this ego come from? Because that's how they initially tapped into this is like, oh, you used to be this hacker genius wanting to take the world and set it on fire, and you're just not like that anymore, blah, 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 blah. Because that's how they get her.
Right. They pander to her college years, and she has gone beyond that, but so much has happened that she wants to get back into that felicity and enabling to go against the system. And remember where her mental space is right now. She's quit the engagement. Her next boyfriend's murdered. So she's a woman with a purpose, and she's got abilities, but she was constrained by what Team Arrow wanted to do and didn't want to do. So I can see this going on, but at the same time, I didn't want to see it. And that's not the felicity that I want to see and need to see, quite frankly, on the show. They front loaded the whole season with her just going overboard with back to Felicity 1.0 and trying to do all those quips throughout the episode. And I remarked on it last fall. It wasn't working with Felicity. It was the writers trying too hard, and they heard the audience. They might have listened to this podcast for all I know. They've heard the audience saying, nah, that's not the Felicity that we want. It's too much. So they have definitely backed off on that. It's been a while since we've had a good Felicity quip. And Curtis has been trying to do it. The whole airplane thing. Curtis with the airplane thing. That was funny. Misplaced, but funny. And then to get back to Felicity, she is in a space now where I think they can move on with her character. But this whole arc was just, I didn't want to see it. I didn't want that part of my show. And it was. So we'll see how they completely redeem the character going forward. But she's done stuff like they all have. But now she's done stuff that taints her just as much as the rest of the team.
Yeah, I was just kind of hoping, because they did this to Diggle when Diggle kills his brother and stuff. So they did it to Diggle. Now they've done it to Felicity. It's just, you mentioned how you see a pattern that they've done with, you know, like Laurel, and then they did it, you know, with Lila and breaking them down. It's like, eventually it's okay to break a pattern. You don't have to do the same thing to every single character.
Right. So we'll see what we have with the rest of the episodes. I think we have 4 episodes left. I think this was 19 and it goes to 23. I think episode 23 is Lian Yu. It's titled Lian Yu, by the way, in case we haven't talked about it on the show already. So really looking forward to where we go from there. And we know that we're getting another season, so we know that they have plans for next fall. We just don't know what they are. And talking about those plans, this hacker, I don't even remember his name. Do you remember his name?
Caden James.
So Caden James has been held by Argus. We never actually see who Caden really is. So do you think we know who Caden is, or do we not? And then, do you think that this is going to be something that's going to be wrapped up by the end of the year, or maybe is the big bad for next year?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't know why they didn't unmask him.
Probably haven't cast him, is what I'm thinking.
That's true. They might be keeping their options open because, you know, now they got another year. Maybe that's something that they can keep in their pocket.
I like keeping bad guys in my pocket. They're not outside doing stuff.
True.
All right. So the other major thing, which we really haven't talked about at all to this point, is what is going on with Wild Dog and Hoss. And that was an important part of the story to bring forward, because I had kind of forgotten, put it in the back of my mind, that Curtis and Wild Dog had gotten together and they're like, okay, I can get a lawyer for you so you can start seeing your daughter Zoe again. And he's like, yeah, that's great. And then nothing for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we've been too busy with other things really to come back to it. They come back to that story in force in this episode. We bring the daughter back. We've got Quentin actually engaged, and Quentin is new name, no matter who it is now, is Hoss. And because, well, that's what Zoe calls him. So there you go. And Quentin and Wild Dog are bonding as fathers, and we get the nice cutaway to the picture of Laurel and Quentin on Quentin's desk as well. So that was a good father-to-father moment. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, Zoe could easily be Quentin's granddaughter. So I wonder if that relationship is going to blossom.
Well, it depends on if they actually tie that up this season, because they still have to deal with Prometheus, and it's going to be a way, like, how would that go? Yes, I'm an assistant to the deputy mayor. What else do I do? I'm a vigilante. Like, I wonder how that's going to work out, because he's got, you know, a serious side job doing the whole vigilante thing. So I don't think, maybe next season?
Yeah, maybe. He's been more in the mayor's office in City Hall lately than he's been on the street. He has been out in the street for the main fights, but he's been more contained than he used to be. You know, he was in the arcade to begin with, so it's not like he's caged up, but it's difficult when you grow, and we've talked about this from time to time, when you grow your ensemble cast, all of a sudden you're finding things for people to do. Like, Dinah was, I think she was only in one other non-action scene, and that is when they went to the crime scene with the dead Argus agent outside the elevator. Which, by the way, what a wonderful amusement park ride that would be, right? You accelerate 9 Gs, and then you fall forward 40 stories, and man, if given the right restraints and seats and everything, they could make a lot of money doing that.
Doesn't Disney already have that ride?
Tower of Terror, kind of, not quite. Tower of Terror is only, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 stories tall. This is just going off of memory. It's not really all that tall. So you're not getting a 40 story drop, but, and you're on a platform that's got some hydraulic brakes and shocks on it. So it's not just like a hard stop, and you're restrained in these seats that are meant to help you survive versus just, you know, bouncing around in an elevator. That would be a terrible way to go.
Yeah, I don't want to go that way.
You know what would be a worse way to go is the trailers for that new Aliens movie. Was it Covenant? Have been just showing left and right. And they show a couple of those scenes with aliens taking over bodies, or, you know, coming out of bodies or whatever. Like, oh, I don't think we're going to see this one in the theater. It's too gross.
Very gross.
All right. So what have we talked about for the episode?
Well, Diggle and Lila are having marital bumps because, you know, we mentioned earlier, Lila acting like Amanda Waller, Diggle saying that this is, you're changing because of the job. And he just saw Felicity, who, again, one of the best people he knows, crossing the line. Now he's seeing his wife, Lila, cross the line. And there they are on the couch. And he just says, you know, we know where this fight goes. We've been here before. And it's like, no, I don't want the Diggles. No, we had baby Sarah taken away from us.
Yes.
And no.
I know.
No.
I know.
No divorce.
This is the rock relationship that I want. The two of them have been through some stuff, but it's been individual stuff that each other have helped the other one out on. But this is like striking in the middle between their relationship. It's like, I don't want to, this is something I don't want to see. And when it's something I don't want to see, I know a lot of other people don't want to see it, which doesn't surprise me that the ratings are so low. Now, again, coming off a month-long hiatus, coming off a busy time for people. A lot of people are starting to take finals in school now. And that, let's face it, that's the demographic for this show, from junior high up through the college ages, right? It's CW, that's the demographic. So I don't know if that's it or not. You know, it used to be, Michelle, way back in the day, we had three huge rating months, right? So you had October, that was your first Nielsen rating month. And then you had February, and then you had May. And I think it actually went down to a particular week during those months, and then it went up to the months. And now we keep track of the ratings all the time. So, you know, whatever, as far as advertisers setting dollar amounts for what they're willing to pay and what they're not willing to pay. But generally, shows still keep in that mantra because that's when the most people were watching, October, February, and May. We're not into May yet, but the ratings are so low going into it. I'm like, ah, I'm cringing. I am definitely cringing. But Lila and Diggle need to they need to be the rock here because everything else is falling apart. There needs to be a steady character relationship to bring this show forward. And really, they've lost that because they've killed so many of the original characters. And I'm probably not the only one having problems with all this.
You know, I live tweet the episode, and that scene with Felicity and Ollie in the apartment, you know, everybody was like, yes, the road to Elicity, the road to Elicity. And Elicity returned. That's going to be fueled more, you know, next week's episode.
Really? I just got a bad taste in my mouth. So, Michelle, what's going on next week?
Well, next week, the episode is called Underneath. It's the 20th episode of season 5. It's going to air Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. Oliver and Felicity get trapped in the bunker together while Diggle and Lila deal with their marital issues. It's supposed to be a bottle episode. In the preview, at the end of this episode, the gift that Felicity gets from Helix actually is an EMP. In the preview, you actually see Felicity can't walk. So the fact that her chip doesn't work in the EMP, now some of us were like, huh, I wonder what would happen. Now we know. So her and Oliver are trapped down there, and it's going to be relationship stuff because they're supposed to deal with their breakup and everything like that.
Yeah, and we'll see how much oxygen they have left and stuff like that.
Well, the Arrow Cave's kind of big, you know. Episodes directed by Wendy Stansler and writer Wendy Miracle and Beth Schwartz.
So bringing out the big guns for this episode. These are some of the big guns with the Arrow team right now. Wendy Stansler, Beth Schwartz, and Wendy Miracle. Wendy Miracle, of course, being the active showrunner for the show. Still within the Guggenheim umbrella, but she is named showrunner. All right, so that's it for the show for this week. If you have anything that you would like to let us know what your thoughts on, you can go ahead and tweet us at Starling Tribune. You can give us a ring on our voicemail line. That's 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. Or you can always shoot me a email at StargatePioneer@gunnageek.com. Michelle, it's time to move on to the news. We have a chock full lot of news as the series finales are coming upon us, but we want to focus on two particular articles. And first, we're going to talk about Superman's villain's arrival on Supergirl.
Supergirl has cast General Zod. Mark Gibbon is going to be Zod. It's going to appear at the end of the season. Footage was spotted of him on the set. There's pictures, and then there's even a little clip where he says a line, and then he looks, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's supposed to be heat vision. And also spotted on set was Tyler Hoechlin, who is returning as Superman. So it's so cool that they're bringing in General Zod. I hope he gets to say the line.
Do the line, do the thing, do the thing. Yeah, I don't think it's really news that Tyler Hoechlin is going to be on the show because he's been on the show before. They said they're going to bring him in and out. So I would assume they would bring him in at the end of the season because they brought him in at the beginning of the season. The big news to me is General Zod. So that's going to be awesome and cool, bringing General Zod to the small screen. Now, talking about Arrow, we have a little tease of a whole bunch of stuff that's happening in Arrow. So Michelle, I believe this is Wendy Miracle talking, right?
Yeah. So the big bulk of the Arrow news this week has to deal with the finale and the rest of the four episodes. And Wendy Miracle has been making the rounds. And I just pulled out one of the big interviews she did. She did it with CBR.com. And so as Arrow hurtles towards its season 5 finale, Oliver Queen and his team are in more trouble than ever. They may have dealt with Prometheus, a major blow, but he's still at large. Meanwhile, Felicity is knee-deep with the mysterious hacker group Helix, which has some dubious intentions. Even as Team Arrow deals with these threats on two fronts, the return of Katie Cassidy's Black Siren looms in the distance, threatening to kick off with an emotional gut punch. Nevertheless, executive producer Wendy Miracle is looking forward to Arrow's future with a lot of hope. Speaking with CBR, Miracle addressed all of the threats facing Team Arrow. She also explained how Season 1 characters like Deathstroke and Yao Fei will return, delved into Felicity's relationship with Oliver, teased Malcolm Merlyn and Artemis's important roles in the Season 5 finale. And Malcolm Merlyn and Thea are supposed to have some really good scenes coming up. And she also talks about how the show will fill the gap left by flashbacks in Season 6. She's hinting that they won't have the same formula, but they might do flashbacks with other characters and things like that. Again, there's just a lot of stuff coming about the next 4 episodes. So a lot of information.
Yeah, they've been teasing, I've talked about it before in the episode, they've been really teasing what's going to happen as we slide in to the final episodes of the season, and we thought it was going to be series, but of the season, and they've talked a lot about Deathstroke, because Deathstroke is the number one thing that people that have been involved in the show since season one have really clobbed onto. That's really their love of the series has been through Deathstroke and the wonderful fights in season one and season two and the time on Lian Yu. And the flashbacks back and forth working into the episodes. We have had less of that in the last couple of years. Flashbacks have been good this year with Russia. They just are over. And we're now at the point where there are no flashbacks for this season. The one thing that's jumping out on me on what you just said was Yao Fei, because this is the first time I've heard or internalized. I might have heard it before or read it before, but Yao Fei's returning. That is awesome as well. So this Lian Yu episode at the end of the season is going to be amazing. And don't forget, we have the Ra's al Ghul daughter fight that's coming up either probably in 2 episodes, I'm thinking. So there's some exciting stuff happening on Arrow as the season closes out.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, just a little reminder, we are part of the GunnaGeek.com network. There's a lot of wonderful geeky shows on the network. If you want to check out something, you can check out this week's GunnaGeek.com show, which was amazing because the real Stargate Pioneer was on GunnaGeek.com show this week. And yes, that is not me. That would be Suncast, who is now the real Stargate Pioneer. And I'm just the stand-in Stargate Pioneer on that. So if you want to check that out, go to GunnaGeek.com and see Suncast from the Guys from Queens Network in action on the GunnaGeek.com show. I just want to thank all the live listeners and the people in the chat like Stephen J that have participated this week. We thank you very much. And just a little reminder that you can go ahead and download our podcast wherever you can find podcasts. We are also on Spreaker. And the replay is always available on YouTube. So go ahead, tell all the live listeners out there that weren't here today to come join us at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Geeks Out Live Thursday nights at GunnaGeek.com.
You can watch the next live show on the GunnaGeek Network over on Geeks Out Live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those 5-star reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on the GunnaGeek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, that was a great episode. That about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag secret jewelry key.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag bye Felicity. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.